Good evening.
So glad that you made the decision to come back tonight to another portion of God's holy and divine word. As I mentioned on this morning, that I wanted to teach a lesson tonight, and I titled it Dem Bones, D-E-M, Dem Bones. And some of you was, I'm sure, was curious as to know what that is all about. And so I wish to explain that in a moment. There is great news to report to you. The young man, Devin, was baptized on today. He came forward stating that he wanted to do so. So he did have his study, and he decided that that's what he wanted to do. So we thank God for Devin's decision. I didn't know until I looked at his card, but his name is Devin. His last name is Flynn. So his mother gave him the middle name of Errol. Errol Flynn. The actor, some of you that remember, so I thought that was quite unique. So we want to pray for Devin. I'm sure he'll be making his way back. He's kind of grew up here a little bit, but he's not too familiar. He spent a lot of time in Texas, but we want to continue to encourage Devin, and we appreciate so very much. Brother Ed, we thank you for that prayer. We know that it took a tremendous effort for you to come up here, and I was thinking to myself, in the future, we want to continue to hear from you, your prayers. So we'll just walk that mic down to you, and you don't have to come up these stairs and be out of breath, but we'll continue to hear from you. But we appreciate you so much. We know that you love this place, you love us, and we love you too. So thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Bill, for the leading of the songs. And we just appreciate every opportunity that we get. Okay, Dem Bones. If I had to explain to you, it's a song that I heard seemingly all my life. You probably know it too. You know, the ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to. Well, I never knew the title of that song. I just knew that part of it. Well, Riley has this all kind of, you know, things, and surely she has that on one of her mechanism, Dem Bones. And if you want to hear something just cute, as beautiful as it can be, you got to hear Riley sing Dem Bones. Now, she's not going to do it for you. She'll do it for me because I'm her granny. And I take a moment to explain to you what that is. You know, I've been here a while, and I watched many of my babies grow up, like Mackenzie and Mason. And they refer to me as Uncle AC because that's just the age group growing up, and Javon. He'll tell you, he will say Uncle AC. But now, at the age of 54, I'm ready for the grandbabies. So these new babies that we have, like Riley and AJ and Cammy and Camille you know, all these, let them refer to me as Granny. That's what I am to them. And I've been waiting. This, you know, in this life, it's no guarantee that you're going to get grandbabies. There's no guarantee. So you have to do what you have to do, and I'm ready. So I'm going to, for all the right reason, I'm ready. So I'm going to take advantage of what I have now. But Dem Bones, she won't do it. If you ever get her to do it, get her to sing it. And the sweetest part about it, that song is it says that heed to the word of the Lord. And that's the part that was so exciting, that so refreshing that you can hear today, that we can have our children singing about the Lord. So after hearing her sing that, I got to thinking. I said, let me talk about some body parts and so forth and see if we can tie it into a lesson. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, and I made reference to this on this morning, and I thank many of you who took the time to come to thank me for the lesson. There were those who said it was very encouraging to them. And, you know, we always need to be reminded that we are great. We're great because of God. And there was an opportunity to do that, but many of you came to thank me, and I thank you for that. But over in Ephesians chapter 4, we know this walk in unity that the Bible is speaking of for his people and how we ought to present ourselves. And we talked about this morning, we'll mention again, all the ones that we will come across. The Bible says at verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. That's what this is talking about, unity. Endeavoring, or doing all that you can to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what the Bible is asking us to do. It says there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That is unity, unity, unity. And again, one thing, as I mentioned on this morning, that I love about our brother Donald Beans, if you listen to his prayer, it's always about unity. This brother wants us to get along because he knows how important it is. It's what God wants. And everybody needs to endeavor to do all that we can to make sure that we do and have unity in the body of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I have my problems in life. I'm sure you do too. And all those things out there that happens, and I can deal with those things. But whenever there's a problem in church, a problem with my brother and sister in Christ, that hurts me. It goes deeper. You see, I take that to bed with me, and I wake up with it. Why? Because I know that these are the people that I love and care about, and I know they care about me. So what I try to do, and all of us need to do, is do all that we can to have unity in the church. Now, as we look forward and continue in our study, we get at chapter 4, at verse number 7. We're going to find the conversation that will come up about spiritual gifts. We know what spiritual gifts mean to us. We ought to be well studied on that. But when we look at the world, particularly the denominational world, when they get to these spiritual gifts, they get all excited about what others can do, what they can do, and they miss the message. They miss the point. They miss the purpose of all those things that's being done. And that's what we want to look at on tonight. The Bible says at verse number 7, it says, "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." The Bible says that Jesus gave gifts to men. There is no denying that. So when people come along and say to us as members of the body and Church of Christ, "Oh, y'all don't believe in spiritual gifts," we throw our hands up and say, "Okay, you're right." No, no, no. We believe in spiritual gifts. We believe it because that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Christ gave to men spiritual gifts. What we need to do is help people study and understand what the purpose of those spiritual gifts. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. Isn't that right? He just don't do things. God has a reason for doing them. And if we study his word, we will find out exactly why he did what he did. The Bible goes on to say, verse number 9. "Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth?" Jesus went down, was buried, came back up. "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things." Notice this at verse number 11. "And he himself gave some to be apostles." Isn't that true? Jesus gave some to be apostles, but he didn't give all to be apostles. And some of these that come along later today saying and claiming that they are apostles, they don't understand. Christ never gave you that. You've taken a name out of the Bible and claimed that you can do certain things, but you cannot do those things. It was never promised unto you. The Bible goes on to say some prophets. The Lord gave back in those times prophets. That is a fact. But we still have people today who will tell us very quickly that they are prophets or prophetess, right? Some evangelists. He gave that back in those days to be evangelists, right? Now, those are things in spreading God's word that we can continue to be doing, that we can do today. And some pastors, he gave pastors back in those days. Peter was a pastor, was he not? And he's still giving those until today. That office or work that needs to be done in the Lord's church. And teachers, you had teachers then, you have teachers now. But notice verse number 12, and this is what we need to tell our friends out there. Read the whole Bible and keep on reading. Right. Just don't stop with where you see these things as being given. Assume that it's for you. The Bible says in verse number 12, here is the reason for the equipping of the saints
for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's God's purpose. That's why he gave those saints, to equip the saints for the ministry and our work, you see, to edify the body of Christ. That's the church. That's what it's speaking of. We are the body. All those things that these people read and claim that they have was given for the church. The church to do is work, the work that God has set it out to do. So we need to understand as we read this. Why then for the edifying of the body? 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the purpose. Those things were given to the church so the church can grow, so we can have it, so we can go out and be perfect, a perfect man, a perfect body, to go out and let people know that this is the place, it is the church that God has left to his son to leave behind, that all men that will be saved will have to be a part of. That's what the church is. That's how important the church is. And that's why when people get upset about, why are you always talking about the church? Or why are you always talking about the oneness of the church? And what about all these other people out here? You don't understand the power of the church. The purpose of the church. This is where Jesus would place the saved. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The saved will be placed in the church. So we can go and play that game and worry about people's feelings and worry about being attacked and all those different things. You do them no service. That's right. If you really want to help them, if you really love them, then get in a Bible study and show them what the Bible is saying. Now, if they accept it, to God be the glory. If they reject it, they will have to give an account to God for that rejection, you see. But as for you and I, our responsibility is to teach. We don't have to worry about who's going to obey and who's not. That's not our job. Our job is to teach it. What they do with it is their own business. These spiritual gifts were given for the perfecting of the saints, to edify the body of Christ. Don't let people get you all off about what you don't believe and they begin to, you know, make fun and tell you that you're incomplete. They are incomplete because they do not know what the Bible teaches when it comes to that subject. Join me, if you will, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a continuation, another area of these spiritual gifts that we talked about. Spiritual gifts, unity in diversity. You know, we are different people, but we are called to be unified. I don't like everything you like, right? You don't like everything I like. But when we come together and we're unified in Christ, we have to endeavor to do all that we can to make sure that we get along. Why? There are some things that we have to agree on. There is no gray area when the Bible speaks. Either you're a child of God or you're not. Now, these little different things that we get tied down in church and want to hold on to this and that, and I don't like where you feel. Look, that means nothing. There are some things in the Bible that God has given us you and I have no business disagreeing on. Well, I don't see it that way. Well, it's time for you and I to get to studying God's Word. Let's see what God wants us to see. And do we have the heart to change to do what God will have us to do? But many times we get so stuck on what we heard, what we read, what some famous preacher said, and we won't even let go. In spite of what the Bible says, it makes us no different than those in the denominational world. The Bible is right. I don't care how famous that preacher is in the body of Christ. The Bible is right. And that's what we need to follow. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's begin to read concerning these spiritual gifts at verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. See that combination? See how they're working together for us? There are diversities in gifts. You see, they're fighting over gifts. And now Paul is having to explain to the church at Corinth about these gifts. You're angry, you're fighting, you're taking sides, and who's more important? They're missing the point. The Bible says, that in verse 4 again, there are diversities in gifts, but the same Spirit. See, it's still coming from the same source. There are difference of ministries, but the same Lord. There's different office, different things to be done. The Bible says that there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. You know, whatever you have, whatever talents you have, we're looking at today, the Bible says it's given for the benefit of all of us. What do you mean by that? You may be a banker. You may be, you're at the top of your class. You are the go-to person. And you do things all day helping people along the way. You have a talent. You are an expert. Why not bring that to church? Amen. People come out and say, I'm struggling with this and I can't pay that. Well, if that's your area of expertise, lend yourself to that person and say, what can I do? Can we work a budget? What can we do to make you see things a little bit better? Amen. You see, it's supposed to benefit all of us, the talents that we have. Teachers, right? You teach in your schools, and we have excellent teachers here, by the way. We have wonderful. I know because I hear them. Sometimes when they want me to hear them, sometimes when they don't. Sometimes the phone just ring and conversation just going on. And I hear a teacher in their natural habitat. And I can walk away saying, that is a teacher. Still teaching God's word. I mean, they're teaching their classes, you see. But that same ability to teach and the system, the school system, ought to be the same ability to come and teach at church. Why would you give the church any less? You're the expert, you see. You know how to do it. Bring your talents to the church and let's see what we can do to benefit all of us. Where did I leave off, Donald Beans? Verse number 8.
Yes, sir.
For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of the spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributed to each one individual as He wills. God gave it to them as He will. Not ours, not man. They got exactly what God wanted them to have. But yet when they get their gifts, you see, people being people, now it's an uproar. Now they're fighting. Who's the greatest? Who's speaking tongues? Who? And all those things that we saw back then, it hasn't gotten any better now. Just more ignorant. Because they don't realize that those things have come to an end now that we have the completion of the Bible. Yet they're still out there saying they're speaking in tongues and they're healing people and all those things that they're saying. And they're not doing anything. Every hospital I see is adding on. Get it bigger and bigger. If you want to get into healing, go heal. We let them off the hook. You see, they say, well, you know, I speak in tongues, okay? After you finish speaking in tongues, can we take a little trip down to the hospital and do a little healing? And I want to pick the person who's sick. I don't want you to have them, see? And tell me. And let's go even further and raise the dead. You see, that's what they did back in the day. These people are frauds. And we need to let them know that we're not going to just let you off and speaking in tongues. Which simply means another language anyway. They don't even know that. So we need to let people know, you see, that God's word is true. There is unity in diversity when we're called together to continue to look into God's word. Spiritual gifts are for real. Jesus gave it just as the Bible said. Let's not let people tell us that we don't believe in something that we find in the Bible. You just have to rightly divide the word of truth. Isn't that right? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 15. Rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's what people do not do in these days. All right, let's continue, please, at verse number 12 as we begin to look at unity and diversity in one body. In the church. That's what we're talking about. That's what they had back then. That was the purpose of all those things being done. They was, if Jesus getting ready to bring his church into existence. Now the church is here. It is new. They have this newfound religion. They were not going to believe it. They needed miracles and signs and wonders. Why? So they can believe. Why do we need them? Don't we believe? We believe because the Bible says so. But that's all that they had. Why? We are so far ahead. They don't have. We now see all that they couldn't see. That's the beauty of being a child of God, a New Testament Christian. We can look back and find out what God's plan was from the very beginning, even to now. It is a great thing to know about. The Bible says in verse number 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is one, his body is one. We ought to be one. The Bible says at 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Why people in the denomination world take that to mean churches? That is not what it's talking about. The Bible just said one body. But yet they come down and say, see, there it is right there. You see, there are many, many. There are many members. There are many this. No, member, many members in that one body. The church is all over the world, right? When we go out, we meet people, we expect to be treated a certain way when we go to the Church of Christ. I know I do. And if I don't get that treatment, I got a problem. And I will go tell whoever is in charge. Look, I was not treated well. Nobody greeted me. Nobody said this about, you know, nobody cared. I went out, nobody shook my hand. I will tell them about it. I'm not like other people who come in the door who say they don't get that and they just run off and we're never going to come back again. Those people are not friendly. Tell those people they're not friendly. You have an obligation to be God's people. You are to bring and welcome people in to God's house. Why? What's the problem? Why are you not friendly here? I bet they'll speak to me next time I come. You have to let people know. The Bible says also at verse number 14. For in fact, the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? See, there's a little jealousy that's going on when you look at the people in the church. That's what it's talking about. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. That's what we need to understand. We're all placed where we need to be because that's what God wants. If the old body would say and get jealous because I'm not the eye and I can't be the foot or the hand and I'm not anything, am I not part of the body? You're all part of the body. We all are, you see. And that's why when we come together, this is one body. When one hurt, all ought to hurt. And when one rejoices, all ought to rejoice. Why? Because we're one body. Can you imagine being on your job and getting that raise that you've been waiting for? And half your body is cheering saying, yes! And the other half your body saying, nah, I don't care. No, the whole body is happy. Right. You see? You can't separate it because it's one. And the same should be true for us when we look at the body of Christ. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Do we hear that? Are you making a connection?
Yes.
When we come here and we have a certain, say, lifestyle and we live and another person come and they have not been, for whatever reason, where you are, God is saying, look at that person who likes. That's what God is going to honor. We need to make sure that we do what God will have us do to that person. You see what I'm saying? They are your brother or sister in Christ. We need to understand that when we begin to look at the Bible. 25. The Bible says that there should be no schism in the body or no division in the body. Donald Bean spoke of schism this morning. I said, you need to wait till tonight when I get there. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Now, you know, we got to work on that. Don't we?
Amen.
We got to work on that. Every member of the body, we ought to have the same care. If I go down and I end up in the ER and everybody want to run down there and say, what's wrong? Well, the next person who maybe not in our minds as important go down the ER, shouldn't we be down there as well? What's wrong? Have the same care one for another, you see? That's only going to make us stronger. Only going to make us stronger, right? Person come in and come to this church and die. And they obey the gospel. They're in the Lord. They die. And some of us got to struggle to come to the funeral. I don't leave my job. And I really didn't know him that well. And really nobody shows up. But when my day comes, I think, when I die, I would imagine if you're alive and you're still close that you want to come and say, hey, we love that brother. Why is that? Why is that, you see? We should have the same care one for another because that's going to build us up. Look at verse 26. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the what?
Church.
I've been saying body all the way through. The body is the church. The church is the body. That's what it's talking about, you see? That's what he has done. He has appointed these to be in the church. First apostles. That's true. Right? The Bible goes on to say second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Now look at verse 29. Are all apostles? What's the obvious answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And when you read chapter 13, it's going to show you that more excellent way. Why are you chasing all these spiritual gifts? That's what Paul was addressing in chapter 12 for them. You seek all these things. Now, I've explained to you the purpose of them. But now when we get to chapter 13 and you read that on your own, I'm going to show you the greatest gift. And we all can do this one.
That's true.
Right? And that gift is what?
Love.
Love.
Right.
The greatest gift is to love. But yet the world want to chase all these other things because they want to be important. They want to stand out. They want you to think that they're closer to God than you. Look, the Bible is right. And when the children of God realize what the Bible is teaching, when it comes to these spiritual gifts, then we can help our co-workers and all those people we come in contact with. You see, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. And we can trust that. The anchor bone connected to the leg bone. I'm connected to you. You connected to me. We're connected to Christ. Christ connected to God. You see, that's how it works, you see. So when I look at the body parts and that song that Riley sings, you see, that's what it's about, all these body parts working together for the perfection of the body. And the body is a beautiful thing, isn't it? You can have all the things that's created and made, but nothing works like that body. God created a masterpiece when you see that. How can our eyes see? How can ears hear? It has to be a God that would do those things. Man can't figure that out. God made us that way, and therefore we need to understand that we are His masterpiece. Them bones. If you ever get her to do it for you, she's asleep now. She don't hear none of this. You will see what I'm talking about. God bless you, and we appreciate so much the time you've taken tonight to come to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you need to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that come to God must believe that He is, and has rewarded them that diligently seek Him. You need to repent of your sins. According to Luke chapter 13 and verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, the verses are 32 and 33, He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Then we need to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 2, verses 38, Peter told him on that day, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we all need to remain faithful until the end. Thank God that you're here tonight. And all our brothers and sisters who found something more important to do, we need to reach out to them and say, you need to come back and continue to hear the word of God. You don't know what may uplift your spirit. People walk around all the time in the church and they're so depressed. Always sad. Always this. But yet they do not put themselves and go all out for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I always feel better when I get to church. It takes my mind away from all my problems. For a moment, I can just concentrate on God, you see. I know my problem is waiting for me as soon as I step out the door, but isn't it nice to be able to leave it out the door? Some people can't leave it. And help us. God, help us if we're the same as those people. We ought to know that it's going to be a greater day for you and I, and we'll deal with our problems as they come. But thank God we can escape in the Lord. We need to be faithful until death. Revelation chapter 2 and in verses 10 tells us exactly that. Do not quit. Wait. I'm going to give you a crown. It's all going to be well worth it. Amen. We're going to be so happy when we get there. We're just going to have so much joy. And man, just to see somebody who your contemporary that you were able to worship, you know, live the same time, and we worship at the same place. I don't know how it's going to be all completely up there, but I'm going to be happy to see any and everybody I see. I'm going to be happy for them. Because I know one thing, it was not easy. It's not easy, right, church? It's not easy. That lets us know right there that it's right. Anything that's easy, too easy, in the end, it ain't right. It ain't going to work out. Too easy. Everybody take the easy path. You see, that's what the devil wants us to take. But when something is more difficult to do in the church as well as out, chances are it's the right thing to do. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you have not worked and endeavor to do all that you can to bring in the unity of the church, to make sure that it works together, you're doing everything that you can to make sure all that you can do. And I know some of us, it's more difficult. Why? Because we're not all the same. But do all that you can do and pray, you see. Never want to be a trouble spot in the church. The church has too much work to do. Be a part of that. And if you have not done that, you want to make that right with God, come on down tonight. We'll pray along with you. God will forgive you because He is just, and all will be made well. If you're here tonight, you need a prayer, or you know someone it is, why don't you come and together we stand and sing the Imitation of Song.